Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, December 18th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 23, the third paragraph, How True This Is, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps Cheryl Ann M., 12 Traditions Dana P. The reader of the text this morning is Julie E. B. Lois P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Jordan L. The reference number for Thursday, December 17th, is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,011. That's 16011. And for this morning, Friday, December 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,018, 16018. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Suzanne W., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Cheryl Ann M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Cheryl Ann.
Good morning, group. Cheryl Ann M., recovered, not cured, in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl Ann M. And now I'll ask Dana P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service and to all my beautiful fellows on the line. My name is Dana P. I'm a compulsive overeater. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me do service and pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 23, the third paragraph, How True This Is, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Julie E.B. to begin reading. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Put some privacy here. All right. How true this is, do you realize, in a vague way, your families and friends sense that these drinkers are abnormal. But everybody hopefully awaits the day when the sufferer will rouse himself from his lethargy and assert his power of will. Well, I will say that I always thought my power of will was my greatest friend. I would focus my willpower on just getting through the day of a challenging childhood. I would focus my willpower on everything that I could do to help. I would focus my willpower on being normal, seeming normal, and chasing the idea mentioned in the paragraph before that somehow, someday, I would beat the game. So definitely my friends and family sensed that I wasn't normal because everything seemed in life like it was happening from the outside in, that life was happening to me. And everything that happened, I felt was connected directly to me. And the food would give me the comfort for a little while. I would do anything to get it, steal, grab, or not eating the food, going on a diet, looking great, quote unquote, on the outside. But when I was in those times, I still had these huge mood swings up and down. Today, my ideal is to be trustworthy and reliable. And even though times have been very difficult for me lately, personally with my mom's dementia and moving in the house and having 3 kids home from college and professionally, as I've been privileged to help shepherd people in their last moments of their life, sometimes 3 and 4 a day during this pandemic. It's not about me today. It's how can I be useful? How can I show up? There's some things that don't happen, but my proper use of the will is not to pop back in there and fix everything. My proper use of the will is to turn to my higher power and take the action steps that I know will reconnect me to that source of love so that my peace and serenity are not from the outside circumstances, but from life that flows from within, from a loving and caring higher power. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. And now I will be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Christina J.
Christina J.
Jody H.
Jody H.
Stephen G.
I didn't hear that last name. Who is that?
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Karen T.
Karen T. Okay, we'll stop there. I have Christina J., Jody H., Stephen G., Robin P., and Karen T. And we'll start with Christina J., and if you would please announce where the state or country you're calling from so that those who would wish to contact you from our member list may do so. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Just really contemplating these last two paragraphs this morning. I was baffled a lot, as it says in the previous paragraph, and I always thought that I would beat the game. I had a huge obsession about that, and I never suspected I was down for the count. But I was just in between that strange place of asserting my will in every diet that I took on and bouncing back and forth weight-wise, never having any spiritual recovery, didn't even know anything about that, just knew that, like someone shared on the first line, you know, if I had a better man, if I had a better job, if my career would take off, if I was model thin and beautiful, none of those things did it for me, believe it or not. I did get a better man. I did get model thin. I did get better jobs, and I was still insane around food. So I was baffled a lot. My family and friends never really saw anything. I remember when I was a young girl, my mother was an overeater. And so everybody was always eating a lot at the food at the table. And, you know, the joke was I had a wooden leg with a hole in it. And I never felt that way. I always felt stuffed and gross and scared that, you know, when I, around 12 years old, I started to worry that I was getting too chubby, when in reality my body was just changing, you know, and towards that womanhood. But no one really knew. I isolated so much with the food. You know, they would see me gain weight and stuff, my first husband and different parts of my life. I would get, you know, heavier and then get slimmer again and then get heavier. And but I hid it so well, no one ever asked me any questions. No one, I don't think that they even thought about that I was abnormal, but I knew I didn't feel abnormal, but I knew there was something wrong, and I was chasing that carrot, trying to figure out what was wrong. I was hoping one day that I would rouse myself from this disease and that my willpower would finally kick in when I got the right brain chemistry going, or, you know, if I got any of those other things, the thinness and the new man and all that kind of stuff, but it never happened. And coming on these lines and hearing that word recovery, I just sat there in shock, really, and a new hope filled me. And, you know, this is, as we've been talking, truly a mental issue. It's a thinking problem. It's emotional buildup and all that, you know. And I just have this problem that I was born with, which the food has always been the solution. You know, I was screaming out of my mother's womb for sugar, practically. And I found that that gave me ease and comfort. And for many on the line, they say 3 minutes, 7 minutes, but hell, that gave me ease and comfort for a long time. And when it stopped giving me ease and comfort, I would just start eating more. So, you know, I'd never put two and two together for a long time, and it wasn't until a couple years ago when I realized I needed to surrender, thank you, my whole life to something bigger than myself. It seems an impossible task, but I've been doing it, practicing it for about 2 years now, and today I celebrate 5 months of abstinence. So get on this train and get going. There's freedom here. Love you all. I'll pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Now we'll have Jody H. share with us, followed by Stephen G. And please share where you're calling from, Jody. Good morning.
Good morning, folks. I'm Jody H. from the state of Maine, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And that's just a new realization for me. So it's pretty exciting, and I feel like a brand new newcomer because I'm so excited about this program. I read this particular reading yesterday with one of my sponsees, and I couldn't believe how much, how true this book is, including, I mean, the paragraph starts, how true this is, few realize. My family all were rooting for me for every diet and every plan I might have, that they would be able to have a thin mom, especially my kids. And even today, they don't understand this disease, and they think it's another diet. And I try to make sure they understand it's an allergy. And they're beginning to catch on because they realize I have a serious physical disability, and am unable to do the traditional walking and exercising that's good for you. So I've lost 50 pounds so recently, and they are like, "How did you do this?" And I'm like, "Nothing. I'm eating more. I actually eat more now than I used to eat, but I'm eating good food that's good for me, and food that doesn't contain the allergy of certain things." And it's just such a blessing to be able to feel free. And for them, I'm a baffled lot. And hopefully one day they'll be able to see that I truly am a compulsive overeater that has recovered, and that will walk the line of food that they will enjoy, and hopefully they'll, with those who do have their issues in life, not just physically but emotionally and mentally, when they get their selves in a pinch, they'll turn to this program. They'll turn to their higher power and seek out the things that will be best for them. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody H. And now we'll have Stephen G. share with us, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thanks for your service. I'm grateful for this meeting. it says here, in a vague way, their families and friends sense that these drinkers are abnormal. You know, my friends and family never really said anything to me, but it was clear that they could see that things weren't right, you know, from the fluctuations in weight. You know, I was never the same size. I was either in the process of gaining or I was in the process of losing. And if you didn't see me for a few months, I would look like a different person. And everybody, I'm sure, saw that, but nobody really said it. In terms of the fluctuations in my mood, sometimes I was happy and wanted to do things. Other times I was so depressed and didn't want to do anything. And friends and family saw this too. And in terms of fluctuations in my social life, you know, I go through periods where I was very socially active, and then I'd go through periods where I was in complete isolation. And so nobody really knew what they were going to get. but they couldn't quite put their finger on what was wrong because they, you know, there were so many other parts of me that were good, but it was so inconsistent. And like them, I hoped that I would eventually rouse myself from my lethargy and assert my power of will. And I tried everything. And when it became clear that everything I tried ultimately failed, then I became desperate. And to be honest, I became suicidal because I thought there really is no hope. And it was only through the grace of this program that I learned that trying to assert my will was part of the problem. And I finally had an explanation as to what was wrong with me. And although self-knowledge avails us nothing, I needed that self-knowledge to come to the conclusion that I was doomed. And when I came to that conclusion, I was willing to do whatever it took. So I abstained from all my alcoholic foods and behaviors and then worked the steps to get rid of that mental obsession. And for the first time in my life, I have stability in all those things, in weight, in mood, in social life. So I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. And now we'll have Robin P., followed by Karen T., and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. We are on page 23, the third paragraph that starts with how true this is, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Robin P.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Tulum, Mexico. And, you know, how true this is, you realize, and it comes from the sentence right before, but they often suspect you're down for the count. I was so down for the count, and it was so painful playing Russian roulette with your own life. And, you know, that, you know, people think that you'll just assert your power of your will. And, wow, the real recovery is surrendering my will to a power greater than myself, than my own will. And the power of willingness is true power. You know, that's how I recover, is honest and open-mindedness and willingness. And I'm willing today, thank God. And, you know, we've been going through so many, wow, such intense things. You know, I'm an inventor. My product is sold out again, and I'm promising for Christmas. And I just get to keep surrendering and working with people, communicating, all the tools I learned in this recovery program. Asking for help. My husband has someone he needs surgery for, you know, when in the middle of the pandemic, all this stuff going on, you know, we're looking for our next house to live in, all these things that, you know, not sure where we're going to live, just surrender, surrender. And it's not being willful, it's being willing. And, you know, when I came to this program, I just wanted to be able to put the food down. I didn't know that I would be wanting to be of service to God and my fellows, that would be the goal of my recovery. And I'm so grateful that that is. And I'm so grateful to be abstinent and on these phone lines. God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. And now Karen T., will you share with us? Good morning, Karen.
Hello, this is Karen T., compulsive overeater, recovered, calling in from Louisiana. And, you know, before I came to OA, this was about me. I was hopefully awaiting the day when I would arouse myself from my lethargy and assert my power of will. I really thought this was a matter of willpower. And the fact that I couldn't lose weight and keep it off or stay on my diet was a matter of willpower. And I started to have a vague sense that I was somehow abnormal. But my ego did not like that one single bit. And so I had this terrible internal dialogue where I would beat myself up. Karen, please, you're being so lethargic. Assert your power of will. Come on, what's wrong with you? And when I came to my very first meeting, I learned that there was a disease called compulsive overeating. I thought I didn't have an eating disorder because I wasn't anorexic or bulimic. I didn't know there was a disease called compulsive eating. and that I wasn't lethargic. I wasn't lazy. I wasn't weak-willed. What I learned at that very first meeting of OA was that willpower has no defense to keep me on a diet. Maybe in the short term I could have stayed on a diet, but I am abnormal. I am not normal when it comes to food. Just a little willpower is not going to help me to reach my food weight, my food goals, my food plan goals. And that the answer must come from a higher power. And that was something I had to learn. It's not a matter of willpower and not a matter of getting self-knowledge about this, but it's a matter of getting this entire psychic change that talks about in the big book. And that, so how do I have to exert my will today to stay close to my higher power? So how do I exert my power of will today? Not about staying on my food plan, but about praying, meditating, getting on these lines, and working the steps to keep my channel to my higher power clear, to get rid of the resentments and fears and harms, so that I have this connection with my higher power. And that is not normal. That's an abnormal thing that I need to do, and anyone else who has this disease. It's an interesting solution. Not one I would have come up with myself, but you know what? It really works. I've been in OA for more than 30 years, and I can tell you that this solution really works. Yes, I'm abnormal, and it's not a matter of willpower. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen T. And I'll now be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share. And we're sharing on page 23, the third paragraph that starts with how true this is. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Dana P.
Dana P.
Pamela R.B.
Pamela R.B.
Yeah.
Mary G.
Mary G. Who else would like to share?
Cynthia C.
Cynthia C. Okay, let's start with that. We have Dana P., Pamela R.B., and Mary G., and Cynthia C. So go ahead and share with us, please, Dana P. Good morning.
Good morning, Dawn. Again, Dana P. here. I'm in California, compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic. Rouse ourselves from our lethargy and assert the power of our will. That's the part that really stands out to me. And during the first meeting, I thought, well, I don't really have the family that's thinking that for me or imagining that for me, because in my disease, I became quite isolated. Perhaps in the beginning, there was some of that, but really pretty much isolated. And what's coming to me now as I'm meditating and listening to the shares is that the lethargy, it's the other way around for me, really. Asserting the power of my will is not the problem. I have a very, very powerful will that I assert when I was in the disease, every moment asserting that will in so many different ways. And that was really the cause of my lethargy, that forcing my way all the time is completely and entirely exhausting. Shared with a fellow earlier today about going down a river. And I did some rescue training, a river rescue training. And what they teach you essentially is go feet first so you can see where you're going. You can use your legs as a rudder and surrender to the river, and the river will take you. If you fight, you will drown and you will die. And that's ultimately what my life in the disease is about. The struggle, asserting my will, asserting my will, asserting my will. And as a result of this program and the spiritual awakening that I've had, I find that if I just let go and let God direct everything in my life, by my beloved master, take my hand, guide me through this day, speak through me, be inside of me. My life is so immensely and extraordinarily more beautiful than I could possibly have imagined. And I have more than enough energy to do everything that I need to do. So thank you so much, and I will pass.
Thank you, Dana P. Now, Pamela R. B., will you share with us, followed by Mary G.? Good morning, Pamela R. Star 1, Pamela R. Okay, maybe Star 1, Pamela R.?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay,
we
great.
Sure can.
Okay, sorry about that. Again,
no
I'm Pamela R.B. here from Detroit, Michigan. So grateful to be on the line. It's been a while since I've been on the line. I've been listening, but this paragraph is really something. I'm a compulsive overeater, and today I know that without a doubt. Grateful to be recovered just one day at a time. I love this paragraph, how true it is, what's true. Well, so I'm going to go back to the preceding paragraph, because what's true is this. Every now and then I might tell the truth, and I had no idea why I took that first bite. And I have all kinds of excuses. And again, I don't know why I do that, but I know I have a malady. And there's this obsession that someday, somehow, I'm going to beat this game. But eventually, I will be down for the count if I pick up again. I know that as a fact. You know, my family have tried all kinds of things. My brother came over the other day, and he said some things, and he hadn't seen me in a while. And my brother, I believe, is anorexic, but, you know, that's his lifestyle and a drinker. And what I recognize that, you know, I can't be thin-skinned. I have to realize that he, like myself, is sick too, and there's some things going on that, you know, I may never be totally privy to, and he may never walk into these rooms. I wish he would, but anyways, that's another story. What I recognize today is that they recognize, my family have recognized for a long time that I've been abnormal in terms of how I looked at food and how I treated it. You know, to me, it was a big event. It was like a marathon kind of thing, you know. And now that I have put those down, I have other family members who are on the sidelines today being my cheerleader. And because they realize, too, as a result of embracing this program, that my life has shifted and I've become of service to those. I'm grateful that I have several other programs that teaches me how to stand my hula hoop, but I'm of service, especially for those in my family when they ask, or I ask this question, would you like some help? Or would you like a response to that? Or you just want me to listen? These are things that are really important to me today, as opposed to just thinking I know everything. So today I'm not walking around in the lethargy. I'm not in the food fog. I have hope today that my life will get better in spite of what's going on, you know, in the world with this pandemic. You know, I am going to make the best out of it. And this is just an opportunity to dive in deeper to who I am today. And willpower is like an old boyfriend named Will. He got up and left me a long time ago. So I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to get the power of my higher power today. That's what I need to sustain me. Thanks for allowing me to share in our past.
Thank you so much, Pamela R.B. Now, Mary G., will you share with us, followed by Cynthia C.? Good morning, Mary.
Hi, good morning. This is Mary G. from Chicago, Illinois. Thank you for your service, moderator, and all those on the line this morning. So, you know, it's talking about the family and friends, you know, sense that I'm abnormal. And I'm pretty, I definitely would say that people in my family sensed my, I don't know, abnormality to food. More so just probably by the fact that I was overweight. I don't know if they ever really recognized I was a compulsive overeater. And honestly, to me, that's neither here nor there. I don't think that it really matters what my family members think. This is a disease that I have, and there's a solution to it if I go into this big book and follow the directions. And then this whole, you know, rouse himself from lethargy and assert the power of will. I have such vivid memories of being a young girl and like a adolescent girl, and just like daydreaming of the day when I'm going to be thin and beautiful and, you know, all the boys are going to like me and I'm going to get married. And it was going to just magically happen. It was going to magically happen. And, you know, it didn't magically happen, unfortunately. But on a positive note, I found program, and I guess, you know, in a sense, I don't know if you want to call it magic, but God is in my life, and I learned that if I follow the directions in this big book and I let go of the substances that trigger my allergy and I turn to my higher power, some sort of magic, if you will, happens, and I have a neutrality, I guess, around food. But it takes work. It takes work every single day. I don't get a vacation from it. And today, I am accepting of that. There was a time in program when I was pissed that I had to do this. I didn't want to do this every day. And there's an acceptance in it today, and it's totally fine. I'll do the work. I'll do the work, rather than living in this fantasy world. So that's all I have. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary G. And now we'll have Cynthia C. share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines. Good morning, Cynthia.
This is Cynthia C., compulsive overeater, a recovered compulsive overeater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service. Thank you, everybody, for making this meeting happen today and every day. I just feel like this is a crazy thing to say. I mean, people say it, but I still find it shocking that I believe this, that I'm so grateful to be, you know, be a recovered compulsive overeater today. I'm so grateful for what I have learned in this program, and I think I came in to the 12-step programs just wanting to lose weight, just wanting to put down the food. Like, I had no idea of the transformation I would get in the entire rest of my life. I truly feel like I am a different or a new person today than when I came back into program 3.5 years ago when I found a vision for you. You know, I had 1,001 reasons why I overate, 1,001 reasons why I couldn't stop, 1,001 reasons why I couldn't eat part of a piece of cake or part of a candy bar, why once I started, I couldn't stop. But the reason is that I have an allergy of the body and a strange mental twist of my mind, and I am an addict of hopeless variety. You know, and I can tell that in my recovery, and I have to work hard, I am not someone who can just sit on their laurels. I'm not. I go to meetings. I have to spend a lot of time in the mornings in my 11-step prayer and meditation. I do, you know, some religious prayers. I do 12-step prayers. I write an inventory where I look at what I'm grateful for, what I'm powerless over, the lies and fears in my head, and what is the truth. And I do 15 minutes of meditation. And then I sort of, you know, and then I do an inventory at night before I go to sleep and a few prayers. I need to stay connected, because if I'm not connected, then my mind goes to crazy places. And my first outlet, my first go-to, when I'm uncomfortable, if I'm not connected with my higher power, the first place I want to go is to the food. You know, the first place I want, that is after so many years of abusing food, that is my go-to. And thank God I am connected with my higher power. And so I'm neutral. I'm grateful for my abstinence today. You know, there are foods that I couldn't stop eating that I am neutral for, and I'm okay with that. I also will say that in program, I've had to change my food plan. I've added foods that I can no longer eat, foods that other people eat with no problem. Other people in program, most other people in program can eat certain foods with no problem. I cannot eat a lot of those carbohydrates. I gain weight on them. And I'm at a point where I'm wondering, you know, and I'm praying, you know, do I have another shift to make in my food plan? And I know that it's not today. I'm so grateful that, thank you. I don't have to force my will. I can lean into my higher power for guidance. So thank you so much. With that, I'm grateful to be here today.
Thank you so much, Cynthia C. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take the names of, I'll take three more people who would like to share this morning. And we are on page 23, the third paragraph that starts with how true this is. And we're commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So could I take three names of people who would like to share?
George E.
Rose M.
George E. And was that Rose M?
Maggie Rose M.
Maggie Rose M. And one more.
Ann B.
Okay. Very good. Okay, go ahead, George E., followed by Maggie Rose. Good morning, George.
Hi, George E., compulsive eater, Cincinnati, Ohio. How true it is. You know, I suppose I'm put off a little bit by this paragraph because of the family. I mean, in a vague way, they realized there was a problem, but they didn't attributed to eating or drinking, and I was looking for that lethargy. I mean, that was what I wanted. I didn't know that that's what I wanted, but it is. I have this brain that doesn't shut down too well, and you know, the mindless eating was a way to do that. So, you know, I kind of put the paragraph before and the paragraph after together, because the paragraph after says, well, you know, maybe that day will come, you know, and then the paragraph before says, no, we're really pretty baffled. We don't know why. So it's not saying you can't know why, it's just saying, the family's hoping for X, you know. Well, you know, I call the people in the rooms my family because, you know, they got tired of waiting, I guess. Let's put it that way. And, you know, so this has been a real good journey for me. You know, it's, you know, the defense ultimately does come from that higher power. But these paragraphs help me concentrate on the practical side of this. You know, there's the spiritual side, the mental side, you know, emotional side. But, you know, so there's a lot to this program. You know, it's not just 12 steps and calling other compulsives, writing. You know, it's all those things, you know, in moderation. So I think I'll keep coming back because it's really the best hope I have for recovery. And that's all I have, and I hope everybody has a great weekend. And thanks for your service, moderator.
Thank you, George E. And now, Maggie Rose, will you share with us, please? And what was the initial of your last name, Maggie Rose?
It's M.
M, very good.
Maggie.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the part about family, I tried for years and years to convince my family that I had a problem with food. And especially my sisters were just not very helpful in, well, they didn't understand, and I struggled to stay abstinent when I was with them. And finally, I realized that I just can't, you know, this isn't about convincing other people that I have a problem. It's about fully convincing myself that I have a problem, and that no matter what other people say, you know, have another this or try this or whatever, or, you know, can't you have that, can't you just do it for a while, all those things, that I just can't listen to that, and that I need to be really clear that there are foods that I don't eat, and that no matter what, I'm not going to eat them. And once I got that resolved, once I was given the gift of abstinence and, you know, truly accepting my powerlessness over my disease, then I, you know, then I didn't care anymore about what other people said. And when I would say, no, I'm not having any of that, thank you, or just no, thank you, they paid attention, and it was because all this wishy-washy, you know, having one day say, oh, I'll do it, and another day not, no wonder people didn't get it. And besides, it's just not up to them to get it. Some of them in my family resist because they may have problems of their own, in my opinion, but that's not for me either. And the real thing is that it's me who has to fully accept that those foods are poison for me, and certain eating patterns are poison for me, and I just need to rely on my higher power. And I know that I have a whole bunch of people in this program that do understand, so I don't need to find other people, and I'm so grateful for that. And with that, it passed.
Thank you, Maggie Rose M. And now, Ann B., will you share with us? And if you'd tell us the state where you're calling from, please. Good morning, Ann.
Hey, this is Ann B. from New York. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. And I'm thinking back on what did people think about me when I was overweight. And I, of course, I don't really know. Almost everybody in my family was gaining weight at the same time. My ex was, what my cousins were. And so, you know, nobody like indicated to me that they thought I was the drunk. You know, that didn't happen. And it's interesting to me now that some of those people who are still very overweight are the ones who are more religious than I am, seemingly, on their face. I mean, they're the ones who, you know, are enthusiastic churchgoers and born-agains and whatever. And, but I do feel like, you know, I had given up my spiritual connection with my higher power as I understood it, because I made my family and, you know, my job into higher power. I made myself into higher power, thinking I could run life. And when I reestablished my spiritual connection, which is something that had been very important to me as a younger person, I got abstinent. And I came to realize that my own spiritual connection was necessary to my life, that putting that aside was killing me, and that the fact that other people were so much more confident in their religious beliefs than I was didn't mean that they were more right than I was, that I had to be I had to have my spiritual connection and do what was meaningful to me. All right, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Anne B., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. We are so grateful for each and every one who shared. We'll now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lois P. please read A Vision for You, Our Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.